As we come to the preach part, I want to tell you about this one word that I think is really important for us when it comes to Good Friday. And that word is the word hope. Peter Benson told us that God's done it before and he'll do it again. And it might not be easy to see that right now, but we need to believe that God is going to do it again. Good Friday is not the end. It's merely a place that is pointing to another event. Right now it's very difficult for us to see any other event. Last night we heard that we're actually going to have 2 more weeks of lockdown. And for many people that's what's filling their vision. The disciples looked at the events of Good Friday in a way that was very different to how we see the events. They saw only hopelessness. We see the prelude to hope. We look at the here and now, but we also need to look at the future. One of the most powerful statements that comes from one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard is, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And this talks about that reality. It talks about the fact that we are on Friday right now. But we need to look to the next 3 days, the next 10 days, the next month, the next year, because God is going to work. I'll play a bit of a clip from that sermon at the end of my preach. I can't do it as well as this person did it. So the scripture this morning is Romans 5, 12 to 15. If you've got your Bible, you might want to turn to that, Romans 5, 12 to 15. This is the word of the Lord. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account, where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many?" Here Paul is showing us two pictures, essentially. He's showing us that death came through Adam, but life came through Jesus Christ. He makes the case that sin of Adam caused sin to be in the world. Sin affects everyone, and the result of sin is death. Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned." So sin's origin is Adam. Sin causes death. Not just death for one person, but death for all. All have sinned. This is not a new message. We read it a number of different times. When the angel appeared to Joseph just before Jesus was born, he said, he was talking to Mary, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." That was the name that he would have, Jesus, because he will save his people from sin. Then in Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man comes to seek and save the lost." The lost are those people who are in sin. The lost are those who need to be saved. Paul in Romans had a lot to say about sin and also about the freedom from sin. In Romans 3 verse 10 he said, "There is no one righteous, not even one." And then he pointed out again in Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And then he tells us what the result is. Romans 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." It's not a new message that we're hearing here. But there is a solution given. In Romans 5 verse 15 we read, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many?" We are shown the problem of sin, but we also presented with the option of grace. Grace that overflows to many is the promise that we read of here. This is the hope that we find here on Good Friday. It's the hope of overflowing grace. Now the question is, how do we live this hope? How can we have this hope? Sometimes we just see the events that surround us, just as the disciples saw all of the events unfolding before their eyes. We see the world in place of crisis, and we struggle to see hope. I'd like to encourage you that there are ways to hold on to the hope in Jesus Christ. The first way is that we need to rely on God's promises. When we go through hard times, we get consumed by the problems that we are facing. I have to admit I'm a bit overwhelmed by the amount of posts about the coronavirus and COVID-19. I see them flying up on my Facebook feed. When I go to Instagram, there's posts about the virus. WhatsApp is flooded with information about it. It's in my face the whole time. This is the problem we face. When we face a problem, all we see is that problem. This is the problem. When we face a problem, all we see is that problem. So we can't live in a hole and not have a clue what's going on. It's right to know what is happening in the world. But this time has been very different, because there is the truth and the facts that we are given, but there's also the posts that are totally inaccurate, or the conspiracy theories, or even the dumb posts. There's so much stuff. It's an effort to sift through all of this information. And I think we get totally focused on the problem. It's not only like this with our current challenge in the world. It's like this when we face personal challenges in our lives as well. Sometimes we only see the problem. We don't see the solution. We're not able to see past what the problem is presenting. And we need to shift our gaze and look to the cross of Christ. It's right to know about a problem, but then we need to seek wise counsel from the one who offers hope. When Nicky Gumbel talks about this in the Alpha Course, he talks about facts versus feelings. He says often we make decisions based on our feelings, when we really need to base what we do on facts. And we find the facts in the Word of God. The disciples were promised by Jesus that after 3 days he would rise again. They had to wait 3 days for that promise to be fulfilled. When we look back now, we know that when he said, every time we read it in the New Testament, I will rise after 3 days, and he said it a few times. When we read that, we know that he actually did, but they didn't know it was going to happen. They had to wait. They only realized the promise to be true when he did rise from the grave. Now, we're really fortunate when we come to Scripture. A lot has been promised and a lot has already been fulfilled. We find hope more easily in Scripture because we can see God saying something and then God fulfilling what he said he would do. Are there one or two promises? No, there's lots. A few spring to mind just as I'm chatting this morning. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said that he is the good shepherd and he knows his sheep by name and he leads them. Jesus said he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connected to Jesus Christ. Paul promised us in Romans 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Promise after promise after promise. And there are many more. Actually, while I was preparing, I thought maybe at this time, if you want to quickly go to WhatsApp and post one of the promises that is really special to you, then other people can see those promises coming up. Now, don't get distracted. If you battle with focusing on what I'm saying and typing in your phone, then don't do that now. But if you're okay to multitask, then maybe you want to just do that to encourage everybody else that's on the WhatsApp group. So this is where we need to find hope. We need to rely on God's promises. We also need to rely on God's provision. This is not some kind of abstract idea. God has done things for us that strengthen our faith. He is alive and he's active today. He's still doing things today. He's done things in our lives that give us hope. We need to remember these things, these times. One place I often turn to is that moment that Christ first revealed himself to me. And I asked him to take away the sin in my life. And I asked him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. It was a time that was so very real. It was a time that wasn't manipulated by some fancy sermon. It wasn't a time where somebody forced me to make a commitment. But God was so real in my life, Jesus Christ was so real, that I knew I had to change my whole life and follow him. It wasn't something that I quickly did, it was something that my heart was gripped and I had to do something about. I wasn't born a minister, I wasn't born a Christian. I didn't need a preacher to convince me, but God, when he and he tugged on my heart, there was nothing I could do. My whole life did literally change. That's one way that he provided for me. And over the years, he has provided again and again and again. And I always look at these moments or these points in my life when I'm trying to find hope. I look back at them and I say, God has been faithful there in providing for me. So I'm going to trust him as I go forward. And I'd suggest that you also do the same thing. Have those moments where you believe God has really done something incredible. I journal some of those in a special place in my Bible so that when I'm feeling down or sad, battling, not sure about the future, I can go and say, look at these different things that God has done. I really believe he's going to do some more great things. Sometimes we forget the things that God has done. So we can rely on God's promises, we can rely on God's provision, and we can also rely on God's power. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, we read this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. What is your weakness? Maybe you are feeling down because a son or a daughter didn't quite turn out the way that you hoped they would. Maybe your job situation hasn't gone the way that you'd hoped it would go. Maybe there's a medical diagnosis that has scared you. Maybe, like Paul, you were insulted, you were mocked, you went through hardships or persecution even. Whatever it is, Paul says he will boast in those things because when we are weak, the power of Christ rests on us. We like to rely on our own power, but we need to start resting in his power. What is God's power? It's the power that we see on display in the Bible, the power of God working to bring about the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. The power to turn water into wine. The power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to change the lives of people from death to life. The power to go to the cross. The power to go to the grave. The power to rise again. The power to change a world. The power to change people today. That is the power of God. So this morning, as we are in this turmoil in our world, as we're in different places in our own lives, being on lockdown means a lot for a lot of people. We need to find hope when we rely on God's promises. We'll find hope when we rely on God's provision. And we'll find hope when we rely on God's power. God's promises, God's provision, God's power. I just wanted to say a few words in closing about hope. Hope is about looking back to all that Jesus has already done. It's also about looking at what he's doing right now. And it's always also looking forward to what God is going to do. Hope is praying and listening to the voice of Jesus Christ. Hope is reading the Bible and finding his promises for us. Hope is knowing that he has done it before and he will do it again. Hope is not knowing the future, but rather knowing the one who knows the outcome of the future. Hope is knowing Jesus. Hope is living in Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning, have hope. Remember, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming.